Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Today we're going to be talking about a very important topic, conflict resolution. No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how long you've been married, conflicts are normal to relationships in a family, whether it's between a husband and a wife, or a wife and a husband, or our children with each other, or parents with their children. We really think you're going to enjoy this series. We can all learn from it. Let's get started today with Conflict Resolution Part 1. So let's just jump in here. We're going to talk about here in these next couple of weeks about conflict resolution as it relates to husbands and wives.
Yes.
And then later we're going to talk a little bit about conflict resolution as it relates to parents and children. And there are several directions we're going to go there. We're going to talk about when you have little ones, when you have teenagers, when you have blended.
There we go.
And we're also going to talk a little about your adult children that still live in the home.
We had a question about that during the single series about how do you resolve conflict as an adult with your parents.
And that is a great question.
Yes, it is.
And a very important one. But we're going to get started today talking about husbands and wives and conflict resolution in the home. Dr. Gary Chapman said, conflicts are not a sign that you married the wrong person. They simply affirm you are human.
Yes.
And he's right about that. I did some research. I was just looking for, you know, quotes about conflicts and things of that sort. And I found some that were quite interesting. One meme said, I told my wife that she should embrace her mistakes and she hugged me.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not good.
Groucho Marx said, or Mox.
If you're saying it in a British accent.
Marriage is a wonderful institution, he said, but who wants to live in an institution?
Oh, dear.
And that one made me chuckle a little bit. One of my favorites, too, was Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, was once asked, did you ever consider divorce? And she said, never did I consider divorce. Murder a couple of times, but never divorce. And I thought that one was a good one. And then here was a couple of others. Husbands are best to tell your secrets to. They will never tell because they weren't even listening.
Oh, dear.
And I don't know if that's totally true, is it?
Well, sometimes you feel like your husband's
there
not
you
listening.
Go. And this one made me chuckle as well. When my wife gets a little upset, sometimes a simple calm down in a soothing voice is all it takes to get her a lot upset.
Probably not the best conflict resolution right there.
Probably not. Now, here's a question for you to consider. How do you resolve conflicts in your marriage? You that are listening, that are married. Our culture is so busy that often we ignore conflicts.
Right, avoid them.
We avoid conflicts in the sense that they're there, but we just don't resolve them.
Right.
We ignore them. And sometimes, you know, it's true that if you wait long enough, you know, if you give it enough time, you know, a day or two or a few hours or a couple of years.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. The conflict kind of fades away into the background. But God's word, I believe, is very clear and teaches us that in a marriage, we work through all of these issues. We grow together. God teaches that we're to mature. He calls it sanctification.
Right.
We call that theologically sanctification, where we are growing. And God doesn't take away the effects of living in this sin-cursed world.
Right.
We still have issues. We still struggle. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes Bethley's wrong. Sometimes we're both wrong. We see things differently. There's just any number of conflicts that comes to a marriage. So how do you resolve them is a valid question.
It is, and avoiding them is not a good idea. Sometimes we as wives, especially because we tend to be more verbal in the relationship, we think to ourselves, okay, this is a problem. We need to meet this head on. And then we run into it full steam, and then we cause more of a conflict because we're not trying to resolve it biblically.
Sure, and one of the things to remember too is that the goal is not to avoid conflict. We'll say this in later episodes, so you'll hear this more than once. The goal is not to avoid conflict. Our goal is to learn how to handle conflicts in a healthy way.
Yes.
That is so important to understand. So how do you handle conflicts in a healthy way? Well, one of the things that we can learn is that we have to begin by identifying the conflict.
Is this one of those things where the problem is not the problem?
You know, I suppose that's true.
Sometimes.
Well, if you don't learn how to handle, if you don't learn how to identify the conflict properly, then the thing is that it compounds.
True.
And compound interest is great in marriage, or rather in investments, in yes. banking, in finances.
Right.
Compounding a conflict is always detrimental and dangerous to a marriage relationship.
Yes.
And so we see the source differently. When you're identifying the conflict, chances are you will see the source differently as a man and a woman. Have we ever experienced
true.
That?
Yes, we have. There have been many times where we maybe are disagreeing about something, and I will see the problem one way and I will express it. And I, even before I'm done speaking, sometimes David is just shaking his head like, no, that is not the problem
at
all.
That is not what happened.
That is not what happened. And that's not what we need to talk about. What we need to talk about is this over here. And then when he's expressing his view of the difficulty, in my heart, I'm thinking, what in the world? That's not at all what the problem is.
Someone recently recommended a book. I saw it actually on Facebook, and I'd never heard of the book, never heard of the authors, but it's called The Top 10 Ways to Drive Your Wife Crazy, and in small print, How to Avoid Them. And so I ordered a copy of this book, and let me just read you just an excerpt. And Bethley, I don't think you didn't read this.
I haven't read it yet, no.
So I was kind of curious to just surprise you with it. And he talks about, this little section is entitled, What's the Real Issue Here? He said, let's go back to the major conflict that flared up between the two of us over something that as insignificant as a hubcap. And he tells this story about how his wife, in fact, let me just recall the facts. I had gone out of town to speak at a weekend conference. My wife was on her way back home with a van after speaking at a women's conference in Iowa. So now get this picture. He's away from home.
Okay.
Somebody else has the kids. A babysitter has the kids, because yes. while he's away speaking in one place, she went to another place by herself to speak, and she drove there.
Yes, okay. This has happened in our marriage. Go ahead.
It has. So as she drove home, she had a blowout on a dark and secluded road in the middle of nowhere in northern Illinois.
Mm.
Fortunately, she managed to get help, and after quite an ordeal, she did make it home safely somewhere around midnight.
Okay.
So can you imagine? You got this picture, you ladies out there. Here you are traveling by yourself in a place where you do not live and you do not know anybody, and you have a tire that goes flat on the side of the road, and there you are stuck. Okay.
This has actually happened to me too.
And it has. So when I returned home, he says, and happened to look in the garage, I noticed that the hubcap was missing on the van.
Mm.
I had no idea the storm that would erupt by my question. The question I asked my wife after I got home and looked in the garage is, where is the hubcap?
So that was his first question?
That was his question. Where's the hubcap? Okay. Now, he says this, my wife was very angry and hurt that I would even think to question her about the location of the hubcap. I, on the other hand, merely wanted to know if she had looked around for the hubcap while she sat on the side of the road for an hour waiting for the tow truck. Look around for the hubcap, she stated with a rising fury. You think I'm going to get out of the car in the middle of nowhere in the rain on a dark, empty highway with no flashlight in my dress clothes and backtrack along the road to look for a stupid lost hubcap? The reality and powerful emotion of her trauma was having a head-on collision with the logic of my sense of responsibility to care for the automobile.
Mm.
As a further backdrop and for my reasoning, I had just recently replaced another lost hubcap on her van that cost us $85. I didn't want to think about the cost of another new hubcap on top of the cost of a new tire and having the automobile towed. And they had it towed all the way to their home.
Oh, wow.
Just to help her. To put it mildly, that was a true blue, state-of-the-art, bona fide major argument between two people who think they understood each other after 20 years of negotiating a warm and healthy relationship. And so he takes it apart. This is interesting. Why was my wife so upset at my question about the hubcap? And why was I so driven to understand why this had happened and what it was going to cost to fix the problem? For my wife, she had been through a dangerous trauma, which she had faced alone in a state of exhaustion in the dark along a lonely highway in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. What she needed from me was tenderness, care, concern, and empathy for the horrible experience she had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
My question communicated to her that I didn't care about what had happened to her. I only cared about the automobile.
Mm.
Is she right, my love?
Is she right?
Is she right?
I think he wrote that out correctly. Absolutely. Because that is what she was looking for.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
And as far as she was concerned, the car was of greater value than she was. Mm. Of course, in my way of thinking, nothing could be further from the truth. She was obviously home safe and sound, so everything was okay. To me, the problem was there's a hubcap missing. So in my way of thinking, Donna was fixed, but the car was still broken.
Right. And I can see where he would think that. That problem is already solved. You're already here. Where's my hubcap?
And I love this. He says, no matter how logical I tried to approach the situation, I put a serious breach in our relationship by lacking sensitivity to her needs. Mm. I just love that illustration. Number one, because we've experienced that.
Not quite to that extent.
I've never asked what happened to the hubcap.
No.
I don't think, have I?
No, you didn't. And you were very concerned for my safety.
And yet we've been there and faced that kind of a situation. And it's just interesting to me, here is a book being written by two people that love the Lord and have a wonderful ministry and love each other. There's no doubt they love each other.
Yes, he said 20 years of a healthy marriage.
And yet, he really blew it there.
Does this encourage everyone out there?
That was the whole point of my even reading that. Mm. We have to identify the conflict. And what's interesting to me is as he thought through that, he realized that number one, the conflict was he made his wife feel that the car was more important than she was.
Right.
And he was simply and merely thinking, you know what, you're okay, but we still got to deal with the hubcap.
Right.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Bethany and I always enjoy having you along for our conversations, and we certainly hope you've enjoyed today's as we've been talking about conflict resolution. I hope you join us next time for part two. In the meantime, let's remember, let's serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.